Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll be reading starting in verse 14 and through chapter 5, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 14, this is the holy, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men and things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins. As for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." Just as he says also in another passage, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And that is the word of God for us this morning. And so far in Hebrews, we've seen and been looking at the superiority of Christ's person, that he is greater in his person than the angels and Moses. And now we turn our attention, the author of the Hebrews turns his attention to see the superiority of Jesus Christ's work. Specifically his superior priesthood, as we see here. And we'll see it to the end of chapter 7, referring to that. The end of chapter 4, before us, provides the transition into Jesus' greater work as a priest, greater than Aaron and greater than his descendants, all those high priests that came after, according to the order of Aaron. And we see the description of Jesus that in verse 14, he is a great high priest, the Son of God. That he, verse 15, as a high priest, sympathizes with our weaknesses. And therefore, he, as he is without sin, having been tempted in every way as we are, and we are to draw near to him. We are to go to the throne of grace with boldness and confidence, to be held fast by him, to be held firmly in our time of need. So to persevere as a Christian, we must continually draw near to Jesus, whether that's in public worship, to his word, to him in prayer. We go to him to persevere. And moving into chapter 5, the first four verses show the qualifications for a high priest. Verses 1 through 3 show the qualifications of a high priest, that he has to be able to sympathize with those to whom he's ministering to, those people's weaknesses. He has to be able to sympathize with one's weaknesses. Verse 2 shows, as it has to do with the Aaronic high priest, that the incarnation is necessary for one to be a high priest. Jesus' incarnation was necessary for him to become a high priest, because he has to at least experience what the people he is ministering to have experienced. And verse 3 shows the need of the Aaronic high priest to sacrifice, not only for his own sins, but for the sins of the people on the Day of Atonement. Verse 4 shows the second part of what qualifies a man to be a high priest, and that is he has to be called by God. He has to be divinely called. And so the qualification for the high priest is that he has to be able to sympathize with one's weaknesses, and he has to be divinely called. Well, you see in verses 5 through 10, Jesus' qualifications as a high priest, how he fits those qualifications that we just thought about in verses 1 through 4. Verses 5 and 6 show that Christ didn't glorify himself. He didn't make himself a high priest, but that God, the Father, made him a high priest. After the order, not of Aaron, but of through the order of Melchizedek. And he was a priest forever, not just for a time. And so in that way, he was greater. Jesus is greater than the Aaronic priesthood. So Jesus is divinely called. You see, verses 7 through 10, they show that Jesus is qualified by being able to sympathize with our weaknesses. You see, in verse 7, he offered the offering of prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears, showing that emotion that's required in some sense in verse 2. That they have to be able to deal gently with the weak. Verse 8, you see Jesus in his human nature. He learned obedience through suffering. He was made under the law, made to be under the law and had to live by the law on this earth while he was here. So that he would be able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He had to be tempted by Satan even, that he'd be able to sympathize with our weaknesses of being tempted to sin. And so he is able to sympathize with humanity. Verse 9 speaks of Jesus through his suffering being made perfect for the high priestly ministry. That he would be the perfect high priest. All the other high priests before him sinned and fell, but his suffering here, and because of his righteousness, it shows that he is able to sympathize with our weakness, and he's made perfect for the high priestly ministry. And here his suffering, being made perfect, is not talking about his morals. He was already perfect. He was sinless. It's not talking about his morals. But because we see in chapter 4, verse 15, he was without sin. But he is consecrated a high priest through suffering. He's conscious. He's set apart to be a high priest through his suffering. And then again, verse 10, Jesus designated by God to be a high priest forever, not after the Aaronic priesthood, but after the Melchizedek priesthood. And so Jesus meets the qualifications of a high priest. Even we see in a little glimpse here that he's a greater high priest than those who came before him. And so he, as the high priest, as the greatest high priest, as the high priest who is the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, he now intercedes for us. He is our mediator. He prays for us. And so therefore we are to persevere by drawing near to the throne of grace with confidence, which we shall do now. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you because of Jesus, your Son, who suffered on our behalf, suffered for us, that he was even able to sympathize with our weaknesses in every way, and yet he was without sin. He is the perfect high priest. He is the one who is perfectly able to sympathize with our weaknesses where all those who came before could not perfectly do so. And he is called by you to be the high priest, to be our interceder, our intercessor, our mediator before the throne. We thank you that he prays for us at all times. And that as we pray to you now, he is mediating. He is that mediator who is then saying, Father, hear their prayer and answer them. We thank you for him. And Father, we lift up our desires to you. We desire to come before the throne of grace with boldness, with confidence, because of Jesus, not anything in ourselves. but perhaps maybe because of who you made us to be, righteous in your sight, in Christ, union and union with Christ. And so we come and we plead for your to hear our prayers and to answer us. And we think of those who today are struggling with sickness or illnesses. We think of Mariel and Dina. Would you heal them and cause them to be able to, for Mariel to be able to go back to school tomorrow and fulfill her calling that she has now, and also Dina as her role of mother and wife. We pray that you would heal her so she'd be able to do so as best she can. And Father, we pray those for those who struggle in their bodies, as we pray often for those who are struggling with chronic illnesses and fatigue and cancer and other things, Lord. Father, we pray that you would heal them, strengthen them in their bodies, that they would be able to serve you in a greater way, or even if it's not your will to do that, that you would strengthen them to serve you. Strengthen them to give praise to your name, even in the midst of their struggles and suffering and trials. We pray the same for everyone here, those who struggle spiritually, which we all do. We all still sin. We've broken your commandments. Every moment of the day we break your commandments, because we like to trust in ourselves and trust in our own strength, when you are the giver of all strength. And in our souls, you are the giver of the power. There is no power within us. You are the giver of your Spirit working in us. We pray that he would be working, and he would be correcting our sin and rebuking us, but also comforting us in the Word and in the Gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins and shed his blood, that we would receive grace, your favor and mercy, not receiving what we deserve. And so, Father, we pray that you would strengthen us as your church, as Christ is the head of the church, that you would strengthen our elders in their responsibility of being in the Word and in prayer, and strengthen our deacons to serve and minister to those in need. Pray that you would strengthen all of us to in all things worship you and glorify your name. Even our high priest, who continues to pray for us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.